Subramanam Kambu Sujata Kantam Subramanam Kambu Sujata Kantam Tam Dvashya Varsham Sukumara Pada Kapola Gatram Chavayatakshunasa Tulyarkana Subrananam Kambu Sujata Kantam Tam Kim Dwi Ashta 16 Varsham Years Sukumara Delicate Pada Legs Kada Hands Uru Thighs Abahu Arms Amsa Shoulders. Kapola. Forehead. Agatram. Body. Charu. Beautiful. Ayata. Broad. Aksha. Eyes. Unasa. High nose. Turiya, Simha, Karna, ears, Sugru, nice brows, Ananam, face, Kambu, conchal, Sujata, nicely built, Kantam, neck. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This son of Vyasadeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide, and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face, and his neck was well formed and beautiful, like a conch shell. Translation responsively. This son of
Vyasadeva
was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead. And the other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide. And his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face. And his neck was well formed. And beautiful like a conch shell. Purport. A respectable personality is described beginning with the legs. And this honored system is observed here with Shukadeva Goswami. He was only 16 years of age. A person is honored for his achievements and not for advanced age. A person can be older by experience and not by age. Sri Shukadeva Goswami, who is described here as the son of Vyasadeva, was by his knowledge more experienced than all the sages present there, although he was only 16 years old. Omigyana timadandasya kinanjana shalakaya chakshurinmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamaya dadati swa vadantikam vancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindubhi evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, Shukadev Goswami is being offered respect by the senior members of the assembly. So, he's walking in to the assembly of the sages. They've gathered together because Maharaj Parikshit is about to leave this world. So because Maharaj Parikshit is a pure devotee, actually, he's a pure devotee of Krishna. He's already self-realized. He's already perfect in his consciousness. He has love for Krishna, prema. Then, to be with him at that time, all the sages in the universe have gathered on the bank of the Ganga, the bank of the Jamuna, near Hastinapur, near Delhi, in order to be with him at that time and to support him. So this is what takes place. When someone is about to leave this world, then we go to be with them. Because whatever is spoken at that time by a Mahant, a great personality, then those lessons are extremely pertinent to us. Just like Gandharvika, she left her body a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks back. So I went to be with her, spent about an hour with her, not long before she left her body, maybe two or three weeks before she left. So she gave me probably more instructions in that 1 hour than I'd probably received from her, knowing her for 20 years or so. Because in the final moments, the person's heart is revealed. When someone is about to leave this world, there's nothing to hide. We may be pretentious up until the time of our death, but there's not really any sense in being pretentious at the last moments of our life, pretending that we're something we're not, because there's nothing really to hide anymore. You can't really be proud when you're about to die, because when you die, it's not very pretty, generally. Srila Prabhupada said in 1977, just before he left this world, he said to his young disciples, he said, don't think this won't happen to you. Don't think that you won't die. You're young and strong now, but it won't be long and then you'll also be on your deathbed. Time goes very quickly. Just like my grandmother's about 86, so I speak to her on the phone. So whenever I speak to her, she says to me, where have all the years gone? It feels like it's all just flown by. Just like I'm 43 now, but if I look back at the last 43 years, it feels like it's just gone quickly. And you think, oh, that's okay, I've got another 43 years, so that will go slowly, I can use the time. But it doesn't go like that. Time is imperceptible. It appears like you've got a lot of it, but it actually just moves very quickly. It just goes in no time. So all of us will be faced with our time of death very soon. So we have to be prepared for the time of death. So Prabhupada said, don't think that it won't happen to you. Don't think that you won't die. In his final days, he said to his young disciples, it will happen to you. All of us have to face death. It is sure. When you are born, two things are sure. The government will take all of your money and you will die. These things cannot be avoided. This is the nature of the material world. So, when Maharaj Parikshit was about to die, all of the great sages came to be with him. Because this is a great opportunity to be with the self-realized soul. When someone's about to die, they reveal their heart. They let you know what is inside their heart. They bring out their deepest secrets, things they may not otherwise speak in their life so easily. But then they'll reveal them to you. They'll give you their deepest realizations. And then you'll be extremely benefited by their association. So all the sages in the universe, they understood this Siddha Mahant, this perfect personality, Maharaj Parikshit, a pure devotee, He is about to leave this world. So they came to hear from him and be with him and to get the benefit of his association. And similarly, the person who is about to die, they also feel, I am being benefited by the association of so many great souls. Because when you die, generally the devotees will come to support you. And you'll be benefited by their association. Everyone becomes very sober at that time. Just like it is said that people become sober under three circumstances. When they're in the Bhagavatam class, if they can stay awake. When they're in the crematorium. And when they are sick. Generally then we become very sober. Because we're sick, so then we realize, oh, the material world's not so good. When you're not sick, then you think, oh, no, I can enjoy. But then when you get sick, then you realize, no, it's not so good. And when we go to the crematorium, everyone becomes sober for a few days. You go to the crematorium, everyone becomes more. So let's speak about the reality of life. Even the non-devotees, you'll see, you know, when someone dies, you get to the crematorium, they speak about detachment and something bordering on transcendental knowledge. But then, a few days later, everyone just becomes covered again, we all become attached again, and then we all just carry on with our life. As if, oh well, you know, it won't happen to us soon. Not that we know that it won't happen to us soon, but we think like that. And also, when you hear the Shastra, when you come to the Bhagavatam class, you should also become sober. Dhira. Dhira means in a sober state of mind. Then you should be sober at that time. You should reflect on what is the reality of this material world. It is temporary. And we should develop detachment from hearing the Bhagavatam, if we hear properly. Staying awake is one of the essential criterias to hearing the Bhagavatam properly. It is highly recommended. Like that. Compulsory, actually. Very good to stay awake when you're hearing the Bhagavatam. Also, when you're chanting japa, I'm just speaking on personal experience. My japa is a lot better when I'm awake. I've tried it many times. A lot better when you're awake like that. So try to stay awake when you're hearing the Bhagavatam, because it will put you into a transcendental state of consciousness. You'll develop detachment from this material world. So Maharaj Parikshit was about to pass away, so all the sages came to be with him to associate and to share realizations and to help each other remember Krishna. This is the goal of life, is to remember Krishna. Always remember him. Never forget him. So at the time of death, we assist each other. And it's a great service to help the Vaishnavas when they're passing away from this world, to remember Krishna. So, Shukadeva Goswami walks in to the assembly and he's only 16 years old. So generally, we will think that if someone's only 16, they won't have advanced realizations, generally. You know, if a 16-year-old sits here on the Vyasasan, generally we won't think, oh, this person is so advanced or so worthy of being heard from. I'd rather hear from someone more senior. But it's interesting because these sages were hundreds of years old. They were thousands of years old. They may even be millions of years old, these sages. If you read the list early in the Bhagavatam, you'll hear that all of the great sages were there in the universe. But when Shukadeva Goswami came and he was only 16, everyone stood up and they realized that this is the person that we should hear from. Based on what? Just by having his darshan. And darshan means, I see you. Darshan. We go and have a darshan with the spiritual master or a senior devotee. Darshan means to see. So we see. So just by seeing a pure devotee, lava matra just means only for a moment, you can become purified. That's how powerful the pure devotee is. So by his countenance means by his demeanor or by his aura or by his, what's some words to describe it?
Effulgence.
Just by the mood of the person. When you see a great soul, someone who's highly advanced, just by seeing their mood, their countenance means like their mood that they're absorbed in, you become purified. That's why when we see a senior devotee or the spiritual master, we become purified just by sight of the spiritual master or the senior devotee, because they purify us, because we see their mood is just absorbed in Krishna. So that purifies. So they just saw, when they saw him, they realized this person is self-realized. Just by seeing him, they could tell. He has the highest realization. He is Paramahamsa. And by his physiognomy. Physiognomy means his bodily structure, his bodily features, which are extremely auspicious. It mentions there are 32 auspicious symptoms of a Siddha Mahant, or a very advanced devotee, pure devotee, a Mahapurush, or someone who's a very advanced person. Doesn't have to be there, but quite often it will be there. They're auspicious. It means the physiognomy will be in such a way that will have very auspicious qualities. Lord Krishna has these qualities, obviously. He invented them. And Lord Chaitanya has these qualities. And it is said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had all 32 symbols of the Siddha Purush. Perfect like physiognomy, like that. It means, it states in the Shastra that the palm, from the bottom of the palm to the top of the fingers, it should be a certain length, and then if you count, then that's how long the arms will be. If you go from the span, if the arms are out, then there should be like a perfect proportion.
Sacred geometry.
What's that?
Sacred geometry.
Yeah, sacred geometry, like that. So perfect physiognomy. You look at the palms and then everything else will be in perfect proportion, like that. And then you'll see that person is auspicious. Non-devotees can have these features as well. They're not just for devotees. But you may have all those qualities. In other words, we may see, we look at the person and say, oh, they have such perfect form. The physiognomy is very good. But then when they open their mouth, what comes out? That's how we know what is in the heart. Because even the most beautiful person in the world, everyone's attracted to beauty, especially in Kali Yuga. It actually says in the 12th canto, people get married just because of beauty. Oh, she's so beautiful, I should marry her. He is so handsome, I should marry him. That's Kali Yuga. And then what happens? Divorce rate is over 50% in America. First 2 years. She's so beautiful. But then when she starts speaking, after the next 2 years, and I get to know her, no, I don't actually, I'm not attracted to her. So that is superficial, just to marry just out of bodily attraction. But in Kali Yuga, that is prevalent. That is basically what marriage is in Kali Yuga. Oh, that looks good. Or as Sri Dhananda Maharaj says, that smells good. She smells nice. I think I'll marry her. The animal propensity. That's why people wear perfume. Because if you smell the actual body, it's not attractive. You wouldn't marry if someone didn't wear perfume. But if someone wears perfume, then everyone's like, that smells nice. I think I'll marry her. Very superficial in Kali Yuga. So, even though someone may have physiognomy or someone may be very attractive externally, they have to be beautiful within. In other words, when their activities and their speech begin to manifest, then we'll see what is actually inside. So it is said that the most beautiful person in the world, if they don't have a pure heart or if they're not attractive within, they turn ugly very quickly. Now, we've seen that. Even the most beautiful people in the world, if they don't have good behavior or good character, we lose attraction to them very quickly. Like you can see someone and think, oh, that person's very attractive. But then when you see them behave or speak, if it's not pure or the character is not good, you lose attraction to them immediately, even though they're very attractive externally. So Shukadeva Goswami, externally he looked very attractive, but internally is what is more important. And in the spiritual platform, in the spiritual world, everyone has a similar form to Krishna. Krishna's form is Satchitananda Vigraha. It is Madhurya Rupa. Madhurya Rupa means, it's one of Krishna's 64 qualities. The final four qualities separate him from all of his other forms. Because the final four qualities are Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, and Prema Madhurya. The sweetness of Krishna's, Rupa Madhurya. Krishna's form is so sweet, it's intoxicating. Do you know the story of Cupid? Madan, we say in Sanskrit, Madan. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan. He attracts Cupid. So, if you go to Vrindavan, has anyone been to Vrindavan? If you go to Vrindavan and you do parakram around Vrindavan, then when you go down, you start at like the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and you walk down to where the Jamuna formerly ran, where she was running when Krishna was, now she's gone further away from Vrindavan. But when you get to where the Jamuna ran, then you turn right, just on that corner, that's called Varahagat. That's where Krishna once showed his form as Varaha in front of all the gopis. And then if you go about 50 meters down, just on the right there, that is called, I think, Madantir, which is where Krishna bewildered Cupid, Madan. So Krishna is known as Madan Mohan. So Madan, Cupid, one time he came to Narad Muni, because he thought in his mind, I want to become really famous. Hands up if you want to become really famous. Okay, one honest person. All of us want to become really famous. Yeah. Yeah, he's honest. That's honesty. That means they're brahmanas. And the rest of us are sutras. Kalo sutro sambhav. We're not honest. All of us want to be famous. All of us want to be recognized. It's in our heart. You cannot look in your heart, see if it's not there. So Cupid, Madan, he wanted to become famous. So he thought, I'll shoot Narada. Because Narada is the greatest brahmachari. If I can influence him with lust, then I'll become very famous. So he went up to Narada and he took his bow and he aimed it at Narada. And Narada looked at him and said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm going to shoot you. He said, why are you going to shoot me for? He said, then I'll become very famous. You're the best brahmachari, the most famous brahmachari. If I shoot you, I'll become the most famous. My power will be famous. He said, I'm easy. I'm an easy target. Shoot me and easily I'll become affected by lust. He said, why don't you go and shoot someone more powerful than me? He said, who is that? He said, go and shoot Krishna. He said, where is he? He said, he's in Vrindavan. Just go to the forest. So Cupid, Madan, he was walking through the forest looking for Krishna. And then he heard the sound of the flute. And he thought, he must be here somewhere. So then he came around the tree and he took his bow and arrow and he aimed it like that. But when he saw the form, the Rupa Madhurya of Krishna holding the flute, then at that time he just saw Krishna and he collapsed. He was intoxicated by Krishna's beauty. So Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, one who bewilders Cupid. He's much more powerful. And Srimati Radharani is known as Madan Mohan Mohini. Because one time, Krishna challenged Radharani to a wrestling match. Because Radharani said, you're not so strong. Krishna said, I'm very strong. I'm so powerful. I can defeat anyone with my wrestling. Radharani said, you're not so powerful. I could easily beat you. So Madhu Mangal and the other cowherd boys were the intimate associates were there. They said, okay, we'll have a wrestling match tomorrow. We'll meet at this place tomorrow and we'll have a wrestling match. So Radharani said, okay. Krishna said, okay. So next day, they came. So Krishna appeared there dressed up as a wrestler. You know, very handsome, very attractive as a wrestler. He always dresses nicely. It says that when he was on the at Kaliagat, before he jumped off the Kanamba tree to defeat Kaliya, first he dressed himself very nicely. Made sure the belt was nicely tucked in, tucked the flute in nicely. Adjusted his turban, right, and then he was ready for battle. So Krishna, he was there ready to wrestle with Radharani. And then they were waiting and waiting. Radharani was not there, right? And then finally she entered. And when she entered, she was dressed as a wrestler. She tied her hair into a top knot, right? And she was wearing like a dhoti with where you wear the dhoti, that looks like pants, like that, like a dhoti. So she dressed up like a wrestler. So she walked in, and she had her veil covering her eyes, and she walked in. When Krishna saw her, he was bewildered. She was so beautiful. And then she walked in, she walked around the wrestling arena, and then she lifted her veil and showed her eyes, and she just looked at him out of the corner of her eyes, and when Krishna saw her, he just went... And she just walked up, and she put her foot on his chest. And said, now you are defeated. Sham.
And everyone said, right here, right here. She easily defeats. She is known as Madan, Mohan, Mohini. He is powerful, but she is more powerful. Radharani defeats Krishna. Just puts the foot on the chest. Now you are defeated, Shyam. What will you do? Can't do anything, he's unconscious. Like that. So she's the most powerful. Externally, someone may be very attractive externally, but internally, if they don't have good character, no one is attracted to that person. And you see that. Someone may be very beautiful or very handsome, but then when we see the personality or the character or what's in the heart, when they speak, when they act, then we will see whether they're actually beautiful. So in the spiritual world, everyone has a beautiful form. Krishna has the most beautiful form. And all of us also get a form like Krishna. Sarupa Mukti means we get a form similar to Krishna's. Which means everyone in the spiritual world is very beautiful. But this external beauty is an inner manifestation of what's in the heart. Because Krishna is the most beautiful person. He has the best qualities. And that external beauty, because he's the most beautiful person, that is a external expression of what is within himself. He's known as Bhakta Vatsala. That is his greatest quality, actually. He loves his devotees. And because he has that beautiful personality and character, then that manifests in his beauty also. So we see here that Shukadev Goswami, he was recognized by the sages that he is extremely advanced. They could just tell by his persona that he was extremely advanced. But he was also extremely attractive, extremely beautiful. His body was in perfect proportion. So he walked into the assembly. And he sat down on the Vyasasana, 16-year-old boy. And then everyone was ready to listen to him with rapt attention. And it's interesting because if you read in the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatan Goswami, when he discusses the just like last night, we discussed the qualifications of a disciple from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Sanatan Goswami also discusses the qualities of a guru in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And it's interesting because he mentions, he says, it is not compulsory, it doesn't have to be, but he said, if the guru is young and very attractive, beautiful, he said, that is very auspicious. If you see a guru and the guru is young, you're like Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. He's young, he's not like an older person. He's a youngish person still. And very beautiful features. Very refined, delicate features. That's very auspicious. When the guru is young and very attractive, that's considered to be very auspicious. Sanatana Goswami said it doesn't have to be. It's not that we have to get a guru who's young and attractive, but it's considered very auspicious. So Shukadeva Goswami, he has walked into the assembly. And he is showing that he is the most qualified personality. So qualified that everyone in the assembly stands up. Even though everyone is much older than him. So then he sits down and he begins to offer respect. Now this is an interesting part of Vedic culture. We discussed this last night also. That Vedic culture, one of the key elements of Vedic culture is respect for superiors. And this is part of Vaishnava etiquette and Vedic etiquette. You have to understand who is superior and who is junior and who is equal if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. What do we call a devotee who can understand these different gradations? Not Uttamadhikari. Majjhamadhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari has trouble. That's why he's in trouble. That's why it's hard to advance. Some devotees are neophyte. The reason they're neophyte is because it's hard for them to discern who is more advanced, who is less advanced, and who is equal. Kanishtha Adhikari tends to think he is more advanced than most. He probably thinks, well, me and my guru are probably on about the same level, because he is my guru, so we must be very similar. He's probably just a touch more advanced than me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have taken initiation off him. But I am his foremost disciple. I am extremely qualified. I give my association to as many people as I can. I try to benefit everyone as much as I can. Like that. So this is Kanishtha mentality. That we're thinking that others are less advanced than us. And in the mind, we're always fault-finding. Interesting, because if you look at the the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, not the Bhakti Rasamrita, the Upadeshamrita, by Rupa Goswami, the Nectar of Instruction, what does he say? What is the symptom of someone who is an Uttama Adhikari, or a very advanced devotee? Yeah, or the way Prabhupada writes it is that he is free from the propensity to criticize others. Interesting. Because Rupa Goswami could have written many things. When he wrote the quality of an Uttama Adhikari, or a very advanced devotee, he could have written many things. There's many qualities of a very advanced devotee. But the one he chose, one quality that he chose, was that he's free from the propensity to criticize others. So we also have to, if we want to advance, you have to become free from the propensity to criticize others. And it means you have to stop doing it in your mind. You know, maybe we can master it with our speech and our actions. We don't externally say it, but in the mind, we're always criticizing everyone. Oh, look at him, look at the way he sits. Look at the way he moves, side to side. He wears glasses. So therefore, he wears glasses. I don't need glasses. What sort of a person is he anyway? Okay. All these things go in our mind. If we wrote our list of what actually goes in our mind in terms of how we criticize each other, it would be terribly embarrassing. We'd probably be removed from the Vaishnava Sangha for at least a million births. So we have this propensity to criticize other people. But this is not the propensity of an advanced devotee. An advanced devotee is always looking for the good qualities in other people. He's not looking for the faults in other people. But he's always thinking, where are the good qualities? What are the good qualities? Because the good qualities, they far outweigh the negative qualities. Far outweigh. Everyone has more good qualities, generally. Everyone has. I mean, some people don't have good qualities. Some people have more bad qualities than like that. You know, like Adolf Hitler or, you know, some people have really bad qualities. But generally, we see that most people, they have more good qualities than negative qualities. So we have to learn to train our mind to see the positive qualities. So, Shukadeva Goswami, because he's extremely advanced and he was recognized by everyone else in the assembly. So this is called Majjhima Adhikari. We need to become Majjhima Adhikari, which means we need to be able to discern who is more advanced than us, who is less advanced than us, and who is on an equal level. And this is Vaishnava etiquette. This is Vedic culture. This is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. You need to be able to understand. And you need to learn how to relate properly with the different levels of devotees. If someone's less advanced than us, right, then how should we relate to that person?
Love and respect.
What's that?
Love and respect.
Yeah, love and respect. That's nice. Love and respect. Yeah, this should be a mood of Vatsalya. Vatsalya means? Parental guidance. Parental guidance recommended. We should be giving that mood to those who are less advanced than us. They should feel sheltered by us. And they should feel that we care about them. And that we will do anything to help them in their Krishna consciousness. Right? That's how the senior devotee should feel. So you have to understand, who am I more advanced than? Who can I assist? Who is junior to me in Krishna consciousness? Right? And then you can understand how best to help them. Right? And then if someone is equal to you, then how do you relate to them? Yeah, friend. Yeah, Rupa Goswami says you make friendship. How does the friendship become expressed? Between two equals. Yeah, very good. Priti Lakshana. Now it means the six loving exchanges. Then you inquire confidentially. You reveal your mind in confidence. You give some nice prasad, some special prasad. You accept some special prasad, like that. And you give some nice gift, and you accept some nice gift. Actually, harder to accept the gift than to give a gift. When you receive a gift, right, it's an art to receive it in such a way that the person feels satisfied that you have understood the effort they've put into giving you that gift. Sometimes someone gives something to us and we're just like, oh, that's nice. But you don't understand that devotees have spent a couple of hours in the shops looking for that particular thing for you, you know, put in so much effort to express their love, their preeti towards you. And then you just kind of say, oh, that's nice, that's nice. So it's more of an art. It takes more effort to accept the gift than to receive the gift. This is loving exchange. Not that we think, you know, someone gives the gift and then we say, oh, I'm not qualified, I'm so fallen, I can't accept any gift. But yeah, you can do like that. But that's not a very intimate exchange between the devotees. When Krishna receives gifts all the time, there's an intimate exchange between him and his associates. When Krishna takes off one of his garlands, because Krishna is always being offered fresh garlands, continuously, eternally. So when he receives one garland, he takes off the previous garland and he offers it to that devotee. So they exchange a loving gift. It is full of prema. It is a way to express our love. So this is the way that devotees who are equal, this is how they express their friendship. And this makes the friendship strong. Prabhupada expected love and trust. He said these friendships should be very strong between devotees. Otherwise, you'll look for friendships outside the devotional circle. Then, the final situation is, if we are junior and there is a senior Vaishnava, how should we act?
Serve.
Yeah, we should serve them. No, we should go to them with a service attitude. What can I do for you? And what is the best service that you can render to the senior devotee? Yeah, to preach, that's nice. It actually mentions to hear the Bhagavatam from them. That's considered the foremost service of the disciple to the guru. If the guru is speaking, you should be listening attentively. And if you can't be with the guru, because you only see the guru 6 days a year or something, right? Then you should be listening every day to the guru or to the senior Vaishnavas, always. And then that way you're serving them. And then you become attached to that person. So when you get the opportunity to serve the Vapu, the personal form, you will be overwhelmed with affection for that person. So we have to learn, and this is what Vedic culture is about. Vedic culture is about understanding how to deal with the different grades of devotees. So the sages, even though they were senior in age, but they understood, were junior in realization. Right? So there are around about 5 or 6 different ways that we can understand in Vedic culture who we should offer respect to. One of them is based upon age. Right? If someone's senior in age, you offer respect to them. To our grandfather. We offer respect. Just like he comes to my Bhaktivedanta course. We've been studying together for 10 years. Like that. So if the devotees come late, we chastise them. Right? A devotee walks in late for the class, then we stop the class and we chastise them to correct them. Right? That's good sadhacha. That means they learn. But we never chastise Mahatma Prabhu, because he's senior. You know, and when you're older, it takes more time to do things. You know, they can't walk as fast. They cannot do things as quickly. So it takes time. So we understand if they come late, then they have an excuse. So we don't chastise them. We offer respect to them. Oh, Prabhu, you've come. Yeah, Brahma couldn't got a chair for Mahatma Prabhu even before he came. He hadn't even come yet. He already set up the chair for him. Right? As soon as he walked in, then the devotees got a mat for his feet. Right? That is Vedic culture. That is Vaishnava etiquette. Right? So when someone is senior in age, you offer respect. Right? Then, according to the Varna and Ashram, right? If someone's in a superior Varna, you offer respect. Sudras offer respect to Vaishyas, Vaishyas to Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas to Brahmanas. Everyone offers respect to the Brahmana. And then, according to Ashrama, right? It's supposed to be Brahmacharya to Grihastha, Grihastha to Vanaprastha, Sannyas. And Sannyas is said to be the guru of all the Varnas and all the Ashrams. If someone's a Sannyasi, it's not easy to be a Sannyasi. Especially in Kali Yuga. It's actually forbidden in Kali Yuga. It's not easy to be a sannyasi. Very difficult. You know, so if someone is a sannyasi, you offer respect to that person. They've conquered sex desire. That's not an easy thing to do in Kali Yuga. So we offer respect to that personality. So that is Vedic culture, Vaishnava etiquette. So age, those things. Seniority. Seniority means, okay, someone's been a devotee longer than you. So if someone's been a devotee longer, you offer respect to that person. It takes a while to work those things out. I remember when I was a bhakta, we used to have some really good arguments between each other. Because one devotee had been a devotee 2 weeks longer than the other one. So you should offer respect to me. No, you should offer respect to me. Yeah, that was our mood. So, you know, and then that's when friction takes place amongst the devotees. Actually, Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj explains this principle because he understands Vaishnava etiquette very nicely, Vedic culture very nicely. He says that if there's any friction in any of our relationships in this material world, the cause of that friction is that we do not understand the parameters of that relationship or the dynamics of that relationship. In other words, if two people argue, if there's any friction in any of our relationships, it means we don't understand each other's position properly and we're acting outside of our position. In other words, you're not understanding this person is the superior and I'm the junior, or vice versa. Right? If there's friction there with anyone, it means you don't understand the etiquettes properly. Because if you understand how to deal with people according to their position and according to your position, there won't be any friction in this world. But if you have friction in all your relationships, this means you're Kanishta. It means that you can't understand who I should be offering respect to and who I should not be. So if someone's a superior devotee, they've been a devotee longer than us, we should offer respect to them. And the final criteria, you know, there is Varna and Ashram, there is age, there is seniority, but the final criteria, which is the one being shown here in the Bhagavata, is realization. If someone has more realization than us, then we offer respect to them. They may have not been a devotee for as long as us. They may be 20 years younger than us, but they're more advanced than us. You have to learn these things. You have to learn to understand who is the more advanced devotees. Just like here, there's a perfect example. Shukadev Goswami walks in. Everyone's senior to him. He should be offering respect to them because they're all senior. Right? They're all older. They're all wiser. I mean, apparently. Right? But what happens? They all stand up and he walks in and he sits on the Vyasasana and his father's sitting there. You never sit on the Vyasasana in front of your father. Right? Vyasadeva himself is there. Vyasadeva compiled the Vedas. He's right there in front of him. Narada is sitting right next to him. Narada's the guru of his father. You would never sit on the Vyasasana in front of the guru of your father. They didn't stand up when he walked in, but they said sit. And because he had the most realization, he sat on the Vyasa. And then he said to Maharaj Pariksit, here is the Bhagavatam. This is what you want to hear. Now I'll speak to you the supreme nectar, the supreme rasa, the supreme amrita. I will speak this. This will make you deathless. Amrita. Amrita means deathless. I'll speak this to you and you'll conquer death. You'll go beyond this material world. Now why was Shukadeva the most advanced, most qualified devotees? There were 12 Mahajanas. Brahma, Shiva, Kumaras, Kapila, like that. The 12 Mahajanas. But of the 12, he is the most realized. Why? Because in the spiritual world, he's the parrot of Srimati Radharani. So who was there inside the pastimes? Because the most intimate pastimes are in the 10th canto in Vrindavan. And who was there for all those pastimes, sitting on the tree, watching all of the pastimes? Who saw the Rasa Lila? Right? Who saw Govardhan Hill being lifted? Who was under the hill with everyone else? Right? Shukadeva was there for everything. So at the end, when Krishna wound up the pastimes, he said, you stay. Just stay. in this material world and speak the Bhagavata, because everyone needs to hear it. So he stayed, he took birth as Shukadev in the womb of Vyasa's wife, came out, walked off, right, just said, you know, not interested in family life, so just walked off. So then Vyasa sent his disciples, go and get him, bring him back. So then they went and got him, they spoke the Bhagavatam, they said, come back, learn the Bhagavatam from your father. He came back, he learned the Bhagavatam, and then he spoke it to Parikshit Maharaj. That was his destiny. So here we see how we should deal with others. We understand from the Bhagavatam how we should deal. So we need to learn who is more advanced than us. Generally speaking, we should have the basic feeling that everyone is more advanced than us. That's safe. That's safe. That's the best way. That's what Lord Chaitanya teaches. Trinadapi sunichina torapi. Be humble. Amanina manadina. Offer respect to everyone, but don't expect it back. That's advanced. That's actually an advanced level of devotion. You know, offer respect to everyone. Hands up if you offer respect to everyone. Hands up. One. Hands up if you don't expect anything back. This is advanced consciousness. We haven't even got to the third level of Shikshastika yet, which is Nishta. You know, we're not very advanced. We're just full of anattas. Most of the time we're in our minds, most of the day we're thinking, oh, is he more advanced than me, or am I more advanced? Shall I be offering respect to them, or should they be respecting me? You know, we're all caught up on the material platform continuously. The one who's advanced in Christian consciousness, he just automatically offers respect to everyone, and he doesn't expect it back. And if you look at this temple, there's a few devotees in this temple who actually have these qualities. There's a few amongst us. If you look carefully, there's some devotees, they don't expect respect. And they give it to practically to everyone. You know, if you look carefully, you'll see there's a few devotees in this community who are very exalted like that. So we should also become like them. Then we will attract everyone, and the whole world will become Krishna conscious. Okay. So any questions or comments on what we have discussed? Yeah, what Gandharvika said at the very end. She said many things. I don't know, I only spent about an hour with her, but she just said many things. And they weren't even so like, it wasn't like she was giving me instruction, but it was just because, you know, she detached herself from the material body. So when you detach yourself from the material body, it's actually a very exalted state of consciousness. And I felt that she was liberated. I felt she was speaking from a liberated platform, a very high platform. So, for some reason, they're not coming into my mind. Like that, well, I'll try to think. But for some reason, they're not coming to my mind. But she said many things, which just in the course of the discussion. But they're not coming into my mind. Krishna's not inspiring me for some reason to speak those things. But she spoke many. One thing she said was, I was explaining to her about certain devotees, what they were going through in their life, and she said, even though it may be difficult now, like we're going through things now in our life which are difficult, and Krishna may be holding certain things back from us, materially speaking. You know, materially, we all have desires. We all have material desires. That's why we're in the material world. And that's why we take to Grihastha Ashram, to fulfill our material desires. But sometimes Krishna holds things back from us, which we want in this material world. But she said that even though that may happen, she said long term that is beneficial. That is actually Krishna's mercy. But she said it's harder to understand. Sometimes in the immediate time frame, we find it difficult to understand that Krishna is giving mercy to us. But she said, long term, we will appreciate it. She said, long term, we'll see that actually Krishna is reciprocating with us, he's looking after us. Is that okay? There's many more things, but I don't know why they're not coming into my mind like that. So maybe another time, if you ask me, I'll try to. You know, I just can't think. Any other question?
There's a difference between discriminating and
criticizing. The difference between discriminating and criticizing is that we should only offer constructive criticism. In other words, if we criticize another person, if we're critical or analytical about their behavior or their speech, then it is with the intention to benefit the person. That's called constructive criticism. Just like if you're very close to someone, like they're really a good friend. Good friend means they'll be able to come up to you and say, hey, this is really not very good. That's a good friend. Yeah, we want these superficial friends who just come and say, oh, you're so nice and not like that. But that's not really a good friend. A good friend is someone who can just say to you, you know, that's not really very good. You know, I've got some really close friends. And they'll just say it to me. Everyone else will say, oh, you know, oh, it's so nice. And then they'll just come and say, man, it's not very good. So it's really, you know, it's not a very good thing. So we need friends like that. But that's constructive. We want that. You know, and when the senior devotees, sometimes the senior devotees, they crack our false ego. My spiritual master, he said one time, he said, it's not easy to be with advanced devotees because they smash your false ego. Just being around them, you're feeling purified. I remember my Guru Maharaj, she came here one time, stayed for a week in 95 or 96, I can't remember which year. It might have been 95, I think. 95, 96. Stayed for a week here. And the first 2 days he was here, he was just so sweet to me. So sweet, you know, giving me his garlands, and I was with him all the time. But in my heart, I started feeling proud. Like, wow, I'm the disciple. You know, it's like, I'm with him all the time. You know, he really thinks I'm special. It's like, you know, and that was my, and he picked up on that. So then the last 5 days, he didn't even speak to me. 5 days. You know, and I was serving him every day, prasadam, and with him on morning walks, and, you know, walking next to him. He didn't even speak to me for 5 days. You know, and I felt like he'd, like, picked up my false ego, taken it out of my body, and just smashed it for 5 days. And went, and after 5 days, he just put it back in. And he said, Hare Krishna. And that's how I felt. After 5 days, it's my stress. And then he left. And then I'd become a little humble because I realized he was smashing me. So I waited for him. He walked out of the Prabhupada house and I was waiting. All the other devotees were there, but I kind of stood on the side. And he walked over to me. And then he said, be humble. He said, be steady, be fixed, and be humble. And I said, I'll try to improve. I got the point. Like that. And he said, you're improving. Like that. That was his mercy. You're improving. Like that. And then he left. So the guru sometimes gives these powerful. So that's good for us. That's constructive criticism. Otherwise the guru can just say, oh, you're so nice. You cook so nice. That no. You give constructive criticism. So someone who cares for us, they will give like that. Just like Giriraj Maharaj, he said to Prabhupada one time, Prabhupada, it's sometimes very difficult to take your chastisements. My spiritual master, he said to us one time, he said, what do you think it was like being chastised by Prabhupada? You know, because my spiritual master was quite strong, very powerful. You know, and when he chastised, it was powerful. And he said to us one time, after he chastised us, he looked at us and he said, what do you think it was like being chastised by Prabhupada? You know, that was heavy. And he was chastised by Prabhupada a lot. You know, when they're fighting for that land in Juhu, they fought for that land. So Tamal Krishnamurti gave the land back to Mr. Nair at one point, gave it back to him. The Prabhupada was out of Bombay, Mumbai, and the lawyers convinced Tamal Krishnamurti the best thing to do, the other lawyers, was to sign it and give it back. So Tamal Krishnamurti rang Prabhupada, who was in another place in India, and said, I gave the land back. And Prabhupada said, you could not have. And just hung up the phone. And Prabhupada just got on the train and went straight back to Mumbai. And then for 2 months, Tamal Krishnamurti describes, for 2 months, Prabhupada made him sit next to him. Prabhupada was sitting in Mumbai on his, like up at, you see up in his room, he has his seat. So people would come in, life members would come in for 2 months, and Prabhupada was speaking to the life members to try and get the land back. And for 2 months he said, this foolish boy has given the land back. I mean, that is dismantling. That just dismantles your false ego. That just, you know, if you can survive that, you know, I mean, that, you know, imagine the sincerity of the devotee to get through that. Now, that'd probably last about a day. You know, sitting next to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada for a day, I mean, for, you know, for the whole day, and then for, you know, 2 months. This foolish boy, you know, I'd just be like, oh my God, it's like, can't handle it, you know. So then Guru Arjan Maharaj, he said to Prabhupada, he said, how should we feel? Because sometimes you chastise us, it's very heavy, how should we feel? And Srila Prabhupada said, you should feel very fortunate that someone cares about you so much that they will take the time to point out your faults. Words to that effect. That's basically what Prabhupada said. So that is how we should feel when a senior devotee or a good friend is criticizing us. Or if anyone is criticizing us, that's how we should feel. Just like recently someone said something to me which was quite cutting. And then I went away. There actually is someone who's quite close to me. And I went away and I thought about it afterwards. I thought, actually it's true. It's actually true. I don't like hearing it, but actually it's true. It's good for me. Bitter medicine is good. In Ayurveda, most of the medicines are bitter. Right? Why? Because you know they're good for you. You know when you're taking it, this must be good for me. Because it tastes terrible. Right? So that's how we know. If someone's pointing out our faults, that's good for us. Because it doesn't feel very good, does it? Hands up if you like being criticized and chastised. I don't like it. But it's good for us. So. Any other question? Comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sure.